Good afternoon, brethren. Today, I'd like to speak about a false prophet, namely Balaam, who is mentioned in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. But first, I'd like us to turn to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 11, in which we are given a warning. God says, "Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah." So we know all about the way of Cain. This is very obvious because he murdered his brother, the first human murder recorded. The rebellion of Korah is plain for anyone to see when he rebelled against Moses, whom God had put in position over Israel. But what was the error of Balaam? When we read the passage in the book of Numbers, he appears to be a prophet speaking God's words faithfully. However, his sin was so serious that he is mentioned three times in the New Testament as a warning to us. And later, when Joshua and the army under his command killed the five kings of Midian, they also killed Balaam. I'd like today to examine the part of his life described in the book of Numbers and in the New Testament to see what it was that he did that God considered so evil that he was listed with Cain and Korah. This man, Balaam, was from a town named Pethor on the river, which is assumed in the commentaries to be the river Euphrates, a considerable distance northeast of Jericho. Some suggest it is about 400 miles northeast. That's equivalent to the distance from Los Angeles to San Francisco. Even though he was a Gentile, it appears he had the gift of prophecy. At times God spoke directly to him, as is mentioned in this narrative. Obviously, he had a reputation that was known for a considerable distance, because Balak, the king of the Moabites, sent for him. He sent for him to curse Israel, saying, in which we read in Numbers 22, verse 6, that's Numbers chapter 22 and verse 6, in the last part of it, "I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." Now, Balak was very concerned because the Israelites were approaching his country and had defeated the Amorites previously. He did not know that they were going to bypass Moab on their way to the Promised Land. He did not know that they were of no danger whatsoever to Moab. They were not going to attack. But he also knew that if he started a war with Israel, he would be defeated unless he had some supernatural help. So he sent his emissaries to Balaam to come to Moab. And at this time, Moab and Midian were closely allied. Now you can imagine, he sent his emissaries to Balak, and if it's 400 miles, that would be a few days' travel by horseback. Not an easy trip. A few days there, a few days back. So Balaam prayed to God, and God told him in Numbers chapter 22, verse 12, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." When Balak heard this, he sent more important men with a promise of great riches, great honour, if he would curse the people. The temptation was obviously becoming stronger. As it says in the book of 2 Peter, the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 15, "They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Or as we read in Jude, "have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit." God had told Balaam the right way, but the wages he was offered by Balak were very tempting. And of course, as we're well aware when we read in other places, that the love of money is a root of all evil. And it certainly was in this case. In Numbers chapter 22, verses 20 and 21, we note that God came to Balaam at night and said to him, If the men come to you to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Looking at these verses, there is no mention whatsoever that the men came back to call Balaam to go with them. It appears he assumed that since they were nearby, he should go with them anyway. This was a direct disobedience to God. But God allowed Balaam to go to Balak, but not to curse Israel. However, on the way, an angel was going to kill Balaam, but his donkey saw the angel and effectively protected Balaam from death. When Balaam also saw the angel, he admitted he had sinned. But is this the error of Balaam spoken about in the book of Jude, deliberate disobedience? Later on, we'll find that this was only a part of the sin that led to his death. So Balaam went to Moab and pronounced God's blessing upon Israel 4 times, and even prophesied the coming of Jesus Christ. Then the account says he returned to his place. So what's so serious about what he did? We read of Balaam's death in Numbers chapter 31, verse 8. Numbers chapter 31, verse 8. They, the soldiers of the children of Israel, killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the 5 kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. Now I'd like you to turn to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. That's chapter 2 and verse 14. In the letter to the church at Pergamos, we find what God had against Balaam. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit immorality. The result of Balaam's teachings are described in the book of Numbers and resulted in the death of 24,000 people. The method Balaam used is very clearly described in the book entitled The Antiquities of the Jews, written by Flavius Josephus, a Jewish historian and Pharisee. And he wrote this in about 93 AD. Now, while the whole chapter is a bit long for a sermonette, I will read extracts so you understand what happened. And Balaam by now had finished prophesying God's blessing on Israel. The language in this account is sort of archaic, Old English, but the meaning is quite obvious. So after Balaam had refused to curse Israel, Balak sent him away without thinking him worthy of any honour, without giving him any reward. Whereupon, when he was just upon his journey, this is Balaam, he sent for Balak and for the princes of the Midianites and spoke thus unto them, O Balak, and you Midianites that are here present, it is true no entire destruction can seize upon the nation of the Hebrews, neither by war, nor by plague, nor by scarcity of the fruits of the earth, nor can any other unexpected accident be their entire ruin. For the providence of God is concerned to preserve them from such misfortune. But some small misfortunes may still befall them. But after that they will flourish again to the terror of those who brought those mischiefs upon them. So that if you have a mind to gain victory over them for a short space of time, you will obtain it by following my directions. So now Balaam was going to tell Balak how to have Israel cursed. And he says, Do you therefore set out the handsomest of your daughters as are most eminent for beauty, and proper to force and conquer the modesty of those that behold them, and these decked and trimmed to the highest degree you are able. Then you do send them near the Israelite camp, and give them in charge that when the young men of the Hebrews desire their company, that they allow them. And when they see they are enamoured of them, let them take leave, and if they entreat them to stay, let them not give their consent till they have persuaded them to leave off their obedience to their own laws and the worship of that God who established them, and to worship the gods of the Midianites. For by this means God will be angry at them. Accordingly, when Balaam had suggested this counsel to them, he went his way. So now Balaam has instructed Balak how to have the Israelites cursed. So we see from this description that Balak used the powers of feminine seduction to lead the men of Israel to commit fornication and to worship other gods rather than the true God. In the book of Deuteronomy, we can read that God instructed Israel about what to do with a false prophet. He said, even if that prophet foretells the future correctly, but encourages the people to turn from God to false gods, as Balaam did, that prophet was to be killed, to put away evil from amongst the people of Israel. So this is why God was angry with Balaam, and why the Israelite army finally slew him. It began with his lust for money, and this developed into direct disobedience to God, which led to turning away many of the children of Israel away from God and from God's blessings, which would result in them being cursed. That was his combination of sins that God considered so serious that he mentioned it three times in the New Testament. So we can understand the way God thinks more thoroughly and be warned accordingly.